The holidays are here, and Kirkland's Home has everything you need to make this season shine. From beautiful tree decor and ornaments to cozy throws, candles, and festive accents, you'll find inspiring ways to deck every hall. Explore thoughtful holiday gifts for everyone on your list at prices that make celebrating even brighter. Come visit Kirkland's Home and discover great deals across the store as you decorate, gift, and gather. Kirkland's Home, your destination for a beautifully decorated holiday season. Come see us today.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. It is time for the best of the year. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be counting down our Comic Book Club top 15 comics of the year, as well as a couple of little extras at the end, so stay tuned
surprises.
For that.
You gotta listen.
And this is, as usual, I'll just set this up. You all know what a best of the year is. You know how that works, but this is our collective group. You know, we all have very different takes on what we loved this year, what we didn't like this year, but we got together, we argued, we talked about it. We loved and we lived and we left.
And that's the hardest thing because we have a lot of love of comics and it's hard to be like, well, what's better? You know, so it is a hard discussion and it is a lot of passion because we are coming from a place of like comics are great. We think comics are amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I sipped a whiskey, Pete polished a shotgun. It was normal the entire time. It was just a normal family conversation.
Yes, and I do want to say to Pete's point that I think I said this last year as well. My starting list was like 130 titles or something that I was like, these are all good. Comics are good. I like them. So to narrow it down to 15, and particularly 15 that all three of us feel are representative of the stuff we talked about this year, the stuff we liked, the stuff we argued about this year, it leaves out a lot. So again, we'll have some bonus stuff we'll talk about at the end. If we left off your title, that is not slagging off your title at all.
At all.
We have a much longer list, and we will show you if subpoenaed.
Yes, but otherwise, no.
Otherwise, it's our secret.
Yes, we burn that. We meet in the woods on New Year's Eve and burn it in a little trash can. And
like three little witches getting together over our little cauldron of comic books we love.
Well, why don't we cast a magic spell and start our best comic books of the year?
Yes.
So I will mention, if you're listening to the podcast, there is a video component to this you can check out on YouTube. It's not that fancy, but you can take a look at covers and stuff. So why don't we kick it off? Why don't we start, obviously, with number 15? And number 15 is Batman Dark Patterns. From DC Comics, written by Dan Waters, art by Hayden Sherman. Now, I said this a couple of times when we were talking about it on the stack, but I truly believe this is a book that is going to live on bookshelves pretty much forever. And part of that is it's a very complete package, 12 issues, 4 3-issue arc mysteries that happen throughout that, mild spoiler, end up tying together at the end. But it's really accessible in terms of Batman's sort of year two-ish detective stories. And in addition, you have Hayden Sherman. They were on an absolute tear this year in terms of art for a bunch of things that I think we're going to be talking about in this particular best of list. But here there was just a different look for every arc. For me personally, the second arc, which found Scarface turning into an entire building, was weird and trippy.
That was crazy.
And what Sherman did in terms of art there as Batman worked his way, you know, sort of the raid style through this maze of a building, I thought was fantastic. But every arc had its own feel. Dan Waters' writing was really beautiful as well. And just overall, I thought one of, if not my favorite Batman series.
Plus, just to echo the art. I mean, that whole thing about like the Fire Baby and all those like just epic panels that were just, kind of burned into our thing. The only thing Alex says, like, oh, it lives on shelves forever. It's like, that's where comics live. It's a weird saying, but underneath what he's trying to say is, yeah, I agree, because it is this thing of like, this is an impressive artistic take on Batman, but also just such a cool psychological. We're on the edge of our seats the whole ride for this, so really impressive.
I hope we get to live on shelves together, and by that I mean retire our corpses into a morgue.
When I die, we're going to be turned into three urns.
I want to be
a Funko Pop.
We can live
Pop.
On shelves together for all time.
Yeah, we'll turn into Funko Pops and just live on somebody's shelf. You know.
Hey, so when are we combining our ashes, guys, into one urn, the
official
CBC urn?
We'll start from the feet up. All right, yeah, why good. Don't we move
Wait,
on?
Wait, one other thing I want to say on this. The thing, like, just to add on, the composition of this book is what I think really makes it stand out the most. Like, very planned, meticulously designed three-story arcs becoming the 12-issue series. And each one had a very particular pace and style to it. And I think that's a difference maker in what makes stories with characters like Batman that we've read hundreds of different versions of. This felt like its very much own thing and its own package. And I think that really worked in the final product.
Toy package.
Let's move on with number 14, Star Trek, The Last Starship from IDW, written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, art by Adrian Bonilla. Now, I will say overall, I was very torn when I was putting stuff on my list because the Star Trek line has been very strong overall from IDW. Yeah. But this title, which is, at this point is only 3 issues old as of the taping of this show, has been absolutely gonzo, balls to the wall, crazy every issue. The art from Adrian Bonilla is gorgeous. It's a little reminiscent of Francesco Francavilla, if you haven't checked it out, while having very much its own tone. But the idea is very complicated that they put together, that taking place in the period of the burn after all the dilithium in the universe exploded, one starship from Starfleet is going out to bring hope, but also they have Agnes, the Borg Queen from Star Trek Picard, and also they have a resurrected Captain Kirk at his prime. Somehow none of these elements should work together, but somehow Jackson, Lansing, and Colin Kelly have completely made it work, and certainly I'm prejudiced as somebody who's been watching and interacting with Star Trek his whole life, but I truly think this is, like, absolutely accessible to any new reader, which is a crazy line to be walking with this stuff. There's big moments, there's emotional moments, they introduce new characters. The whole thing feels incredibly well-balanced, but also essentially Star Trek.
We talked about this when Kelly and Lansing took over, and it was like the Avengers Endgame of Star Trek, where it was like pulling all the favorite characters from all the different TV series and movies and combining them into this super group, and how cool that was. And they've been able to reinvent the Star Trek canon again with this. It's like taking some of the themes and ideas of the original TV series, bringing James T. Kirk forward in time, and then turning into a post-apocalyptic ass-kick factory is a wild thing that I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work. And they are doing it, and they're writing it at a pace that is jamming, as Alex is saying. So this is, if you are feel like Star Trek is very like slow, next generation, heavy philosophy, and you don't want that, this is literally opposite. This is more like a Terminator movie with Star Trek characters in it.
Yeah, yeah, just to jump off that idea, what I like, it satisfies the hardcore nerd like a Zalbatron and me, who's just likes the movies and stuff like that. So it's really easy to kind of get behind, even though there is all this stuff going on. And it's accessible, but awesome and really just very rewarding and worth checking out. It's really impressive.
Let's move on to number 13, which is Kill Train from Mad Cave Studios, written by Olivia Quartero Briggs, with art by Martina Niosi. And Justin, over to you to talk about this.
Sounds like you're on a Kill Train right now with all those sirens.
I live on the Kill Train. I'm a New Yorker, Every day I get on the subway, I'm thinking, is today my day to fight my way into Manhattan, Kill Train style? This book was such a fun surprise. I think Matt Cave has just been doing a great job in general at like elevating great story like this. And it's a wild premise, the idea that in this slightly dystopian future, there's a train to control a population where you get on and you have to fight for your life and a bunch of people die. And that seems like, oh, that's not, you couldn't have a story in that world. It's too crazy. But it just totally works. And on top of that, it does get into the psychology of our main character, the ups and downs of regular life and family, and how that is a high stakes thing, even in a situation where you're fighting for your life on a moving subway car. The villains are absolute psychopaths. It's nice and bloody if you're looking for that. Kill Train is it's going to read great in the trade. So definitely, if you haven't picked up the single issues, definitely pick this up. I love this book.
Yeah, this is just so much fun. Such a great premise. So well elevated and keeps the momentum the whole time with different
like a train.
Yeah, elevated. Just different.
Yeah, an L train, if you
an will. L train in Chicago, guys. All trains are cool.
Yeah, it's just it's a blast, and it continues to be a blast from start to finish. Art's insane. It's really, really a fun ride.
Toot toot, all aboard.
Next up at number 12, we got Wonder Woman from DC Comics, written by Wonder Tom King, Woman. Art by Daniel Sampere. And this has just been one of the most consistent titles on the stands, particularly this year. Things amped up in a big way as Wonder Woman came after the Sovereign, the King of America, leading to a new status quo. And I think the best arc of the series so far, where King and company have revamped Mouse Man.
Mouse Man knows.
Mouse Man knows, kind of a dumb villain from back in the day, and turned him into a fascist overlord of an island nation with Wonder Woman coming for him. The danger was big. The stakes were big. It sets up the next arc, which is this whole Wonder War thing that they're going to be kicking off later on, not later on, but actually earlier on next year. But the thing that really worked about it, and I might reiterate this point a lot, is it feels very timely, even though it's not specifically about the world outside. Explaining how we deal with fascism is something that is top of mind for a lot of people right now. It's clearly top of mind for Tom King, and it makes the whole thing feel more present. Plus, of course, you have Daniel Sampere's art, which is just out of this world.
Really great
action scenes. But I'd also shout out, like, the stillness that he brings into a lot of the panels is kind of incredible as
creepy.
Well. Yeah, it's creepy. There's tension. It's just a great book.
I would just add on the sort of slight political nature, like writing satire in such a politically charged environment that we're in our lives right now, here in America anyway, like, is hard. And Tom King really dances the line with this book. And I would say across the whole run, but specifically this Mouse Man arc, and is able to really dance through the raindrops and land it in a way where anyone, I think, can walk away being like, that was a good story. While also weaving in a bunch of setup for just like a knockdown, drag out major crossover that's also coming. So just really next level stuff.
Yeah, this is just such an impressive run. It was so consistent. It really delivered artistically, action-wise. There were a lot of layers to everything that was going on, which is nice. It was kind of like, you know, you could decide how deep you want to go with it. But just really impressive comics. Great. It's just smart use of Wonder Woman. This was just top-notch.
Next up at number 11, we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from IDW, written by Jason Aaron, art by Juan Ferreira. Pete, take it away.
So
you
this
love
was
being a turtle.
You love this.
Yeah, come on. I just think that this was such a great kind of use of the turtles, or to bring them back in such a resurgence. I'm a huge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan from back in the Eastman and Laird days. So the conflict in here had that kind of grittiness that this comic can have when they're not just party dudes and cowabunga style. So this was awesome. It was really the brothers were in a tough spot, and it was I was worried. I was very very worried about him. But man, it was a really impressive thing that, like, as a fan, if you would have stopped and told me, like, oh man, let me tell you the story, I'd been like, what the fuck? But man, they executed it so well. It was really, really cool and rewarded fans. So this was just such a great surprise and in such great hands. I can't say enough great things about it.
Jason Aaron started the series in such a distant place. The Turtles were split. It was pretty dark. We got to follow them coming back together, and even the other characters, like April was in a different place. Somehow Casey Jones' hockey stick failed him in a prime moment.
Don't start, dude. This isn't
I'm just saying, I just can't believe this guy's...
We've been getting along nicely. Don't fuck this up.
I can't believe this guy's nine iron didn't stop whatever
fuck
was
you,
coming.
Man. Okay. Stop that.
Stop yelling.
This is actually on my list of worst of the year, but go ahead.
Which we'll be doing quietly into a pillow separately.
Don't you start.
This argument.
I don't mean to argue because I actually really love this as well. I thought this was – I'm not a crazy Turtle fan. This crosses both. I'm only lightly poking fun at Casey Jones' arsenal of toys that he fights crime
with. Yeah, whatever.
He's not going to be mad. I'm friends with him. We're New Yorkers. You should move to New York, Pete. You can meet Casey Jones in person. He's always around here. He's like, hey, can I borrow
He works at the Dick's Sporting Goods downtown.
And it's not a great secret identity because obviously that's where it's going to work. This was great. Coming from a non-grown-up Turtle fan, like I didn't have it my whole life, just the TV show. This I thought was excellent. So I think a new reader could dive in on this.
Just so you're aware, the comics came out before the TV show.
I know how it works.
Well, I just wanted to add in there, while I was a huge fan of the first arc that mostly came out in 2024, that was a bit of an art jam. Juan Ferreira came as the regular penciler on the title in 2025, and just added a whole new dimension to the book. It was really nice having him consistently on here. His action scenes were great and clear. The pacing was very nice throughout. It's a bit of more realistic style than maybe we're used to with the Turtles, but I think it leaned into what Jason Aaron was writing really nicely. And it ended really well as well. Very emotional, very fun. Next up at number 10, we got Amazing Spider-Man from Marvel Comics, written by Joe Kelly, art by John Romita Jr. and Pepe Larraz. Justin, we've been really down on Amazing Spider-Man. How did this happen? How did this happen?
It must have been an oversight. There's no way this should be a top 10 comic of the year. But here's the thing. Just like the way we're surprised right now, I think this comic was such a great surprise, I think, this year. The amount of risk and exciting swings that this team has been taking on this title. I mean, Amazing Spider, don't be fooled by the number 9 issue that you're seeing on this. Spider-Man's been around forever with like thousands and thousands of stories. Joe Kelly has been able to take Spider-Man into different places while at the same time really focusing in on some of Peter's childhood moments. We get these flashbacks throughout his run that I think are really interesting. Right now, in the comic, Peter's in space while his supporting cast is left to become Spider-Man in different cases and sort of pick up the pieces of what's happening in New York. And I think both are working so well. I think pretty soon Peter is going to come home based on the way the story's going. And I wish this particular status quo could just keep going because it is such an exciting time to be reading Spider-Man.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, don't be fooled by the rocks that I got.
That's sort of my catchphrase, and no one else's.
I also love this. I agree with everything that Justin said, and I'll just add from the art perspective, I think Joe Kelly has done a nice job of leaning into John Romita Jr. for the Earthbound perspective and Pepe Larraz for the space stuff. Both of their art styles lean towards that really nicely. So just overall, this title is as good as it has ever been, and it feels good to be a Spider-Man fan. Yep. Next up at number 9, we got Superman the Kryptonite Spectrum from DC Comics, written by W. Maxwell Prince, art by Martine Morazzo. taking the team from Image Comics' Ice Cream Man, which is one of our all-time favorites, and moving them onto a earnest, positive character like Superman feels like it should be an odd fit, but it absolutely works in this Black Label series. Of course, it is artistically fantastic from Morazzo, as well as Chris O'Halloran. Halloran, I should have checked that first, on colors, who also is on Ice Cream Man. But the whole tone doesn't veer away from some weird darkness throughout as Superman explores new types of kryptonite along with Batman. But it's also fast, it's funny, it's weird, it's visually creative, and it built really nicely to a final fifth issue that wrapped everything up, both in terms of the visuals as well as the thrust of the story, and ended on a very typically weird note. This was just great. You know, same as with Dark Patterns, this is something that I think people will be picking up for a really long time in trade. So I'm very happy to see that DC gave them the chance to go wild with Superman.
It's so exciting to see a more mainstream crowd being able to see this team that we've loved for so long. Like, that's just satisfying for me or us as like fans of Ice Cream Man for so long. The people are like, yo, have you read this? It's crazy. The tone is wild. It's sort of like stressful, but also funny. I'm like, yo, you got to check out this. Like, it's such a gateway drug, a comic like this. So, and shouts to drugs. Shouts to this book, because it is excellent, as Alex is saying. Yeah, I hope more and more people read it.
Do you think drugs will respond, by the way? Do you think?
We're gonna have a pull quote on drugs trade paperback.
Speaking of drugs, this is like watching Superman take drugs. It's a really trippy.
Kryptonite is a drug, man. Open your third eye, dude.
Yeah, this is just really off the rails, which is fun to see Superman kind of going through this thing. And Batman also is great in this. It's just really such a different take on something you think like, oh, how can I see a new Superman story? But man, this is really creative and impressive. It's in fantastic hands. And so it's just such a unique kind of take on something that we haven't seen. So really impressive artistically. It's tripped out, but so much fun. This is stressful, but also a blast.
The holidays are here, and Kirkland's Home has everything you need to make this season shine. From beautiful tree decor and ornaments to cozy throws, candles, and festive accents, you'll find inspiring ways to deck every hall. Explore thoughtful holiday gifts for everyone on your list at prices that make celebrating even brighter. Come visit Kirkland's Home and discover great deals across the store as you decorate, gift, and gather. Kirkland's Home, your destination for a beautifully decorated holiday season. Come see us today.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And at number 8, we got Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Right of Spring from IDW, written and drawn by Patrick Horvath. Justin, take it away.
I mean, this book, we when we first heard this book was coming this year, I mean, the excitement was already right there. So, like, the fact that we got to read this, picking up on a story that is, like, dark. To give you, if you haven't heard of this or read this, it's about a serial killer in sort of the busy world of Richard Scarry. And we are riding with the serial killer. We are seeing the horror unfold from the villain's perspective, which is not for everybody. And the horror is real. We're getting to see these cute little animals really become vivisected by our murderer. It's often compared to Dexter, but like it goes beyond that because it's not about the horror itself. It's about the tension, the small town tension, and getting away with it. And in the second series, we get to look at a lot of the other characters in the town and just feel their everyday failures and stresses and tensions while they're trying to put a brave face on themselves and face the world, which is a nice message and sort of the everyday horror that is maybe on display more. The script gets flipped a little bit here, and our killer is on the run from or ducking someone, pun intended, who is chasing, trying to track them down, while at the same time turning the tables. And it's just, I never know what's going to happen. It's super tense, and it one of my favorite reads, top of the stack anytime it comes out.
Totally agree with everything you said, Justin, and I'll also just throw out there that hearing there was a sequel, even though I love everything that Patrick Horvath has been doing, I didn't feel like it needed it. You know, I was a little nervous because it's such a complete story in the first volume, but like you're saying, it just expands it, it delves into it further, taking it 10 years into the future at the dawn of the internet age changes things dramatically, and there's going to be another one, a third one, which is crazy, plus Samantha, the lead bear, is going to be a DC KO. So this just feels like
crazy. It's such a hit. We forget maybe that this book is actually just crushing it. So that's also exciting.
Yes, it's on the level, to expand on what you're saying, on the level of comics, it is exciting when there is a new hit that is bringing in new readers and capturing new interest. It's maybe not on quite the same level, but it feels like when Saga first came out or Walking Dead,
and it
just brought in new people. So great stuff. All right, why don't we move on, talk about number seven, which is Storm from Marvel Comics, written by Marwa Ayodele, art by Lucas Wernick.
This one's mine, right? This series has been...
No, this is actually Pete. Pete's supposed to talk about this.
Great.
Yeah, this is really impressive. What's happening here... Hey, if you don't want to say anything, don't say anything at all. I think
no,
it's
I'm
a great philosophy.
Backwards. I'm just
leaning
backwards.
I know what you're doing.
I'm just
agreeing with it. I'm agreeing with it. I'm trying to be supportive. Yeah, this is impressive to see what they've done with Storm artistically, the ups and downs. This has been such a cool Storm story. The art is really impressive. They put her in new positions, revisited old loves. This has been just awesome. Just really in great hands and elevating the character to some really impressive heights and kind of put her through it. So I've been loving this. It's such a great team and such impressive work.
This book takes so many like wild swings. Like it's rare to highlight scenes in a comic, but this book and Marwa Ayodele is so good at just writing a great little scene where when you key into it, it really hits. And the one that sticks out for me is maybe issue like eight or nine, when Storm is brought in by the U.S. government to be interviewed, interrogated. And it's just a killer scene. There's an alien there that's like just hanging out and being a monster. Like it's just, I don't want to say too much about it, but it's awesome. And it's been such a breath of fresh air in an X-Men time in the X-Men universe that has been, you know, a little come and go, a little bit up and down on like which is really popping at a certain time. And this one really was the top of my list for those, the X universe.
Yeah, it's just like you guys are saying, every single issue, Marwa Ayodele not only doubles down on the crazy ideas that he's laying out there, but really expands on them in wild ways. And when you see, and nothing against it, because I like this sort of approach, but when you often see somebody come on and be like, okay, what's the basics of this character? Let's get a back to basics approach. This is the opposite of that. This is taking big swings, pushing Storm forward, adding things to her mythology. And I'd also throw out there are multiple artists that have worked on the title this year, but Lucas Wernick in particular, there's at least one, if not multiple panels per issue that are just make you gasp. They're just absolutely gorgeous and stunning when you flip to them. So great writing, great art. One of, obviously, I would say the number seven book on the stands. That's what I throw out there.
Wow.
All right,
nice.
Number six.
Really back in the system, Matt.
News for the Fallout from Image Comics, written by Chris Condon, art by Jeffrey Allen Love. The less said about the plot of this book, the better, because it's a nice surprise what happens in the first issue. But It is about some nuclear tests that are going out in the desert. Things go horribly wrong. Things get even worse from there. But the real standout here, nothing against Chris Condon, is Jeffrey Allen Loves Art. Said the same thing throughout, but we had them on the show, and I don't think this was purposeful, but it calls to mind the shadows of ash that are left on a wall from a nuclear explosion. It plays out like a shadow play. And it's something that Chris Condon writes to more and more, to give a mild spoiler for later issues. A lot of the cast ends up in a cave. And so you just get more and more blackness as it goes with pinpricks of light. It looks like absolutely nothing else on the stands. And I will say, Justin and I talked to Chris Condon about this at New York Comic Con, and both he and Jeffrey Allen Love were shocked that this was the number one thing selling at both of their tables, and it was going in droves. So similar to what we said with Beneath the Trees, it seems like this is a early hit, and that's just always very emboldening and nice to see, particularly something that takes a really big swing artistically like this.
Exactly.
It's very art forward, which I love. It really doesn't have a lot of words, which is awesome. It lets art do the storytelling, and the tone and everything kind of speak volumes for it. It's just really impressive artistically what it's doing as a comic, really pushing the genre and panels and all sorts of storytelling in new and different directions. It's beautiful, it's messed up, it's creepy, it's all the things, and it's just done in such a great way that brings you along for this incredible tale.
It's one of the craziest tie-ins to Fallout Season 2 on Amazon.
Next up at number 5, I will say this is a big surprise to me that we had this on here, but of course completely stand by it. Aliens versus Avengers. From Marvel Comics, written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Asad Rebish. Justin, how did this end up here?
Yeah. You act like you're rubbing a dog's nose in the peace day.
No, I love this series. I'm just teeing you up.
Well, totally. I mean, this didn't even all come out this year, but some books leave such a mark. And I think, for me anyway, this one really did. I think the Asad Rebish art was really translated the aesthetic from the alien movies and brought it to the comic book page in such a like perfect way. So first off, just from the eye, this is excellent. And then Jonathan Hickman, who, you know, he wrote a fair amount of things this year, one of which was the Imperial crossover, which I thought was sort of difficult to deal with and hard to read. This was the opposite. This was so like clean and wild and really forward, like propelling the characters, the Avengers, the characters from the Marvel Universe into this future, into the aliens world. And it was able to bring together those pretty disparate tones of Avengers and aliens and make something that sort of served both while having the individual characters on the Avengers really pop and really end up in a place that was simultaneously deeply upsetting, but just really interesting.
Yeah, this was really badass and fun. It really delivered. You think like, oh, man, you know, what's this going to be like? And they do such a great job of delivering on it artistically, action-wise. It's just it's nonstop, which is such a great use of these two properties together, I felt like.
This would deserve a place on the list if the only thing it did well was Mr. Sinister shouting, "It's a gun that shoots xenomorphs," which is paddle of the year to me. Number 4, The Seasons from Image Comics, written by Rick Remender, art by Paul Azaceta. Pete, you seem pretty excited about it. Why don't you talk about this book?
Yes, it's great. Look out your window. Seasons are happening. This is just such a fun use of this idea of seasons as people. We have sisters here, but I just... artistically, it's impressive as fuck. This cover does it justice, but also doesn't, because just the panels, the mood, the scariness, you know, no offense to your family's album, but clowns can be very scary. So, like, this kind of evil circus taking over towns is just, it's kind of magical, but eerie in such a way that is captured by the art. It jumps off the page at you. This is so creative, so cool. Also, the kind of family element elements underneath it. There's a lot going on, but you just can't say enough about how great the art is. I might even say it's worth it for the art alone.
Can I just clarify something for anybody who doesn't know what Pete said earlier? My uncle is Pennywise the Clown. So
yep. Yes.
That's where the relation is. We don't love the fact that he eats kids, but it's nice to have him at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
he's a great
family
cook.
Is important.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to mention something about the plot because it actually has nothing to do with the seasons being people. Just if you've never read it, it's actually about these four sisters who one of them is investigating a mystery that seems to be consuming her family and led to her parents being missing with a creepy carnival that goes town to town and consumes people's identities with haunted mirrors, the wrong way to put it. Maybe magical mirror is a better way of putting it. But like Pete was saying, Paul has to say his art is out of this world. Justin, anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, do you want to take apart anything I said before we move on?
No, I mean, I love this book.
I just wanted to mention the plot, that's all.
Yeah, just so it made sense and it wasn't like, hey, spring is dating fall or whatever. The story, the art, so we were talking about just the way the colors pop in this and the Paul has to say the art, but the Mateus Lupe's... Lopez colors really just bring it all to life. It feels like an Italian painting if it were about a bunch of like perhaps psycho killing clowns that have showed up into town. So that's really cool. And from the story, like I love these sisters. I love the mystery of this. And it's hard to tell exactly what Remender's going for here as the sort of real world analogy impetus here, but it feels like it's the threat of technology and the internet driving apart our families and interpersonal relations. Because that feels like where we're getting with this. And I really like that. Remender, known as sort of a writer who's bringing us, who is not afraid to put his characters through some real shit.
Oh yeah,
right. This feels like it's a little holding a mirror, which happens in the story, up to us a little bit and letting us see what we're doing, as opposed to showing us these tragic arcs. This is a little bit like, do you see what's happening here to me? And
I
think it's a using the comic book form, combining writing, art, and colors in such a great synergistic way.
And at number three, we're up to the top three.
Rounding it out.
Here
just cranking through it.
Sleep from Image Comics by Xander Cannon. Now, if you haven't been picking up this book, the general idea is there is a guy who, when he goes to sleep, something happens, and when he wakes up, horrible things have happened to the people closest to him, his town. It keeps widening out. He may be turning into a monster. Somebody else might be turning into a monster. We don't know because we don't get to see what happens when he goes to sleep. Wow. And it becomes increasingly tense and terrifying as the series goes, as it continues to explore this concept. It's also very much about faith because the main character is a man of faith and having it severely tested by the fact that he thinks he is destroying his town and killing people. Adding in that Xander Cannon has a more cartoony style that is rendered mostly in blacks and whites and grays with splashes of red to denote danger or warnings.
Yeah.
It's also similar to News for the Fallout, unlike anything else on the stands, just in terms of look. But this would deserve this spot just based on the fact that after the first issue, you're like, oh, he's a werewolf. We'll see that next issue. And you never do. And it keeps pushing that and pushing that and pushing that. It hasn't quite completed yet. We're going to get, I believe, two new issues next year to complete the series. But as is, this is one as soon as, similar to what Justin said, as soon as it comes out, I'm like, oh, I have to read this. I need to know what happens next.
Yep.
And it ends in wilder and wilder places every single issue.
Yeah, artistically, the use of red is just so cool. It's really impressive what artistically happens in this comic. The threats, that's what's so, like, you think, like, okay, they got to tell us, but it's written so well that you're just so preoccupied with everything. It doesn't drive you crazy that you don't kind of know the final reveal. So I'm excited to see how this all kind of unfolds, but man, if this wasn't done as well, this comic would be driving me crazy, but it is in such great hands. The writing, the art, it all works really well. This is such an impressive comic. As Zelbatron pointed out, it's been must read every issue.
the tension is working, I think, Pete, is what you're saying. It's keeping you coming back. I would also just say this is such a cinematic comic. I would love to see this just brought to life on the screen. It's so, I can just feel it coming off the page. Mm,
good call. At number two, we're getting down to it, is Assorted Crisis Events from Image Comics, written by Dennis Camp, art by Eric Zawadzki. Justin.
Justin, you're in the camp, bro. What's up?
You're in the camp.
I'm in the camp. I've been on Dennis Camp as one of the...
You've been camping?
I've been camping for quite some time. One of the best up-and-coming writers. He's been absorbed in doing a lot of Marvel work lately in the Ultimates universe, which has been excellent as well. But this book feels like his statement book right now. It is each issue is a standalone story set in a world where time is sort of out of whack, and it's affecting people in different ways. Each issue is sort of a dark metaphor brought to life on the comic page using time displacement and damage to time, essentially, to show like a human condition. And man, it's upsetting a lot of times. It's a dark path, but it is excellent. And to have such a tight premise, a focused premise, and to continually reinvent every single issue, everyone feels fresh. Unlike a comic like Ice Cream Man, which is similar in format, I don't quite know if there's an overarching thing coming together. I assume we might get into some ideas about why time breaks for people. But you don't even need that, because each standalone story just absolutely destroys. If you haven't reading this, pick up literally any issue. They are all excellent.
Yeah, I love this book as well. And, you know, getting back to the discussion we had about Wonder Woman, this even more specifically is timely. Not every single issue, but some of them, when they come out, you're like, man, this happened this week. How did they get this out? And how are they responding to current events in such a way? Obviously, they're not with the schedule of how you release comics, but truly just playing on base fears and exploring them in, like Justin is saying, a very upsetting way, but a way that makes you confront them and hopefully figure out on your own how potentially you could deal with those fears or delve further into them, I guess.
I mean, touching on things like dementia, the issue about dementia was so great. I think that was maybe two back. I feel like from that heavy topic to even just like the responsibility of our everyday lives, which I feel like the most recent issue dealing with corpses continuing to show up, like
that was so crazy.
How just having a job is a slog. And like to cross that from that spectrum of like everyday things to big specific things, I think is so hard.
The art and like the swings that are taking in this comic, it's really impressive. And it makes you feel good about reading comics because it's like, man, people are trying stuff. People are pushing stuff. It's impressive to kind of see a representation of what Justin's saying of like a slog of going to a job every day, but with dead bodies everywhere. So it's just really just very impressive.
Yeah, I work at a mortuary, so that is my job every day. But Eric Zawadzki's art and his layouts.
So not creative to you is basically what you're saying.
No, it's like, I'm like, what are you doing?
That's
like,
my every day.
Come on. Alex, can you get us a deal on our shared cremation?
You Absolutely.
Think? With your mortuary?
Oh, wow. We have a 3-for-1 deal running right now. That's so that's
oh, my
such a
God.
Weird
it makes me want to jump in early.
I guess I'll tell my family there's not going to be another Christmas.
All I was going to say is that Eric Zawadzki's layouts are as transformative and tell as much of the story as what Hayden Sherman is doing in other titles, and I think they should be spoken of in the same conversation. It's just an absolutely fantastic book. And let's go to our number one.
Number one. What could this possibly be?
What could this possibly be? Surely it can't be multiple titles. And
that would be cheating.
Absolute Universe from DC Comics. This was a hard decision,
Come
but I'm
going
to let Pete talk about it. Pete, why All is right. Absolute Universe our number one pick for Best of the Year?
Because the Absolute Universe, every comic was hitting above its weight class. It was unbelievable. Absolute Batman melted minds, destroyed ideas, and reformed them. It was just such a fun thing to witness. The art, the writing, it was really impressive. Absolute Wonder Woman was so impressive. Absolute Martian Manhunter. It was just so artistically led, so kind of beefed up and insane. It was just, you know, I mean, Batman looked like a beefcake. It was just straight beef. It was unbelievable. It was just beef. So much fun. Yeah, every issue you were just kind of like, what the fuck, in such a great way. Man, what a ride. What a cool idea and so well executed. I have no idea what they had to kind of jump through to get all of these kind of different artistic takes on such famous characters. So really just hats off to this absolute event. It was such a blast. Shout outs to the vodka, also great, but this was just unbelievable.
Yeah, put that on the trade right there. Put that full quote. Shout out to the vodka. The thing I want to say about this is we were having a debate in our Patreon Discord about like which of these ultimate books is sort of the best first arc or the best to just read cold. And it was a lively debate. To have something like that, this isn't a crossover per se, but to have this like this pocket of the DC Universe created and become sort of a lot of people's main entry point to the DC Universe and become sort of who these comic characters are for a lot of new readers that's such an accomplishment. So I think that's one of the reasons we had to celebrate. We also had to celebrate the pure art trip that is Absolute Martian Manhunter. Excellent. That was my vote for best first arc. It's such a composed piece and is such a complete idea of what it wants to be right out of the gate, which is really hard. But I don't know. All of these books have found their place in my stack as like, I love all these books. Even, you know, people were a little bit down. I was down on Absolute Flash. I think that has really come together to be like the most superhero story in the Absolute Universe. And I love it for that. Absolute Green Lantern is very strange, but it's really coming together with some great issues over the course of the year. And obviously, Absolute Wonder Woman might be the best comic on the stands. I know we aren't really saying that with this list, but I think it is, just from a complete package and an emotionality point of view. Absolute Batman is certainly the thickest.
Come on, beef.
THICC. Get that beef. Absolute Superman is the dark horse, I think, of this group, which I think Jason Aaron is bringing some real commentary, some satire, some bigger ideas there. It's a little bit more of the hard-edged. I think he took the sort of the bad energy, the dark side energy, the Omega juice, and let that really infuse the story and make this a much harsher take on the Superman canon. But that's a little bit off-putting for some people, but I really like that. It's such a flavor we don't get in comics, the sort of bitter Campari of the Absolute Universe, and that's my kind of flavor. It's like a comic book Negroni.
You love a Negroni.
All right. I could run with that. And that is it. That is our top 15. So surely that must be the end of the show. But wait.
There's nothing more to say.
But wait, there's more.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There is more. We are going to have some personal picks. We're going to do in a second. But first, we've got something very exciting for you all.
Yeah, come on.
We are going to present our inaugural Man of the Year Award from Comic Book Club. The man who was everywhere this year, was dominant in comics. You could not avoid him. Everybody was talking about him. Every publisher loved him. So, Pete, do you want to present our Man of the Year Award? Who is it to?
That's right. It goes to the one, the only, Godzilla! Come on! Come on! Yeah! Get fired up! Let's go, Godzilla! This was unbelievable. Godzilla was everywhere in comics. You couldn't stop Godzilla. You couldn't slow him down. Really artistic takes. Great expressions of what the idea of Godzilla could be. It was so unbelievable to kind of, as a Godzilla fan, to see Godzilla everywhere doing such different cool things. I was not allowed to be in the list, but we had to give such acknowledgement to it because of how great it was. This was true. Such a great year because of Godzilla. So thank you, Godzilla. Thank
Godzilla
you.
Made your year better?
That's right.
Huh. Wow.
I'm drinking beer at 9 in the morning because of Godzilla. Come on.
Oh, boy. Well, that's an entire other conversation we need to have. But I will say it is.
That's what happens at other award shows when they honor someone. They're like, we're honoring Warren Beatty. Everyone get fucked up.
It is absolutely crazy how much Godzilla stuff there was in 2025. If you're not watching the video version, I made a janky little graphic here showing off just a portion of the titles. Yeah. But we got Godzilla Destroys the Marvel Universe. We got Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong 2 from DC. IDW went hog wild with the new Kaisei universe, as well as one of my personal favorites, Godzilla's Monsterpiece Theater. Yes. As well as we got the pretty, really good Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles X-Godzilla
awesome.
At the end of this year. So whatever you think about Godzilla, he was absolutely everywhere on nearly every publisher. Other publishers who didn't have Godzilla, get your act together. Come on.
Yeah, it made me think, why? Like, why why did this happen this year? Because it's not like this is not a special anniversary. It's not like Godzilla went into the public domain or something. It just seems like everyone was like, we got to get this big lizard in our books this year. And it happened. And like you're saying, Alex, the spectrum of Godzilla Monsterpiece Theater, which is like such a weird title, interesting, like a comic jam space, all the way down to sort of the more over the plate, like Godzilla Destroys the Marvel Universe, where it's just him wrecking shop and blasting nuclear energy all over people we know and love, is it quite a spectrum. And it allowed Pete to really up his merch game. And shouts to that.
Yes. Always remember, Godzilla is a spectrum. That's the important takeaway from this.
Yes.
Now that we have wrapped up the main portion of the show, there's a bunch of stuff that we couldn't shout out in the main list, but we each individually wanted to talk about. So why don't we start, Pete? Let's kick it over to you for Pete's picks.
Mouse Guard, honorable mention. Just so great to have Mouse Guard back on the shelves. Just such a cool world that I don't think it gets enough love. So I wanted to kind of give a little bit of a shout out. Mm. Also, Planet She-Hulk is just getting started, but it is so exciting and so badass. I cannot wait. It's such a cool, like, fish out of water story with amazing art. And I also wanted to shout out the Berserker one shots have just been absolutely amazeballs. And just really great. Just there's so many great comics that came out. Sorry if we don't get to them all. One I wanted to shout that was only just a one shot of the Terminator Santa Claus is Coming to Town was such a blast.
Wow.
Yeah, just thank you to everyone who made comics this year. Thank you for trying to contribute to this world and make the world a better place. We love it. We appreciate it. And thank you for everything it took for you to get it out there.
Wow, Pete, a great, nice amount of picks, three or four, really good, really tight. Justin, I assume you have a similar amount of picks, so why don't we
I'm
kick
sorry.
Over you to
you. I'm sorry. You said we got to say stuff. You said we got to say stuff.
Yeah, our heads, I think, are covering the bottom of the list.
They truly are. Yes, I have a lot of things because comics, as someone just said a minute ago, is a spectrum. And there are so many great books across the board.
It's like Godzilla is the spectrum. But all right,
yes, no, I know. I was cheating on that. But I have to just shout out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's hard to read this all on the screen, but here we go. Honorable mentions for me. Bug Wars, Jason Aaron series. This feels like a world that Jason Aaron is going to live in for a long time to come. And it is excellent. So please get into that if you like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but fighting. Feral, Tony Fleece's comic where it's getting
Tony
in.
Fleece.
It's a zombie story with cute little animals, cute pets, following these cats as they face down a lot of bad shit. And it continues to be, despite the very charming, like, Bluth-style animation, this comic is so tense every issue. Definitely check it out. Special shout-out to the Minor Threats universe,
yes,
which I
dude.
Feel like has really leveled up. I think about this. A couple years ago, we talked about how the Archie universes had been able to take so many wild swings and really generate interest and generate story that is, like, unlike anything we've seen before. I feel like Minor Threats is doing that this year. All their titles have been interesting and coming across different genres. It's not just a comedy Avengers-style universe. It really is telling great emotional stories while still being funny. From the X-Men universe, the Magic series that ran earlier in the year was great. Definitely ran under the radar. I just want to highlight that. I really loved that. Cloak or Dagger, yeah. We've been pretty down on the Age of Revelation in general. Feel free to jump in anytime, guys. The Age of Revelation
no, you're doing
in
great.
General.
You're doing great.
But Cloak or Dagger has been one of these series. I haven't even read the third issue yet, which comes out like next week, I think. But man, I just love the premise here. It took Cloak and Dagger, these characters that I've loved forever, and found a new way to tell stories about them set in the future. Ice Cream Man, yeah. It's just sad that it didn't make our top 15, but it's still excellent.
It kind of
still
did
out there.
With the Superman.
In yeah, a way, it did.
I will throw out there one thing we didn't talk about yet, but now that we're talking about Ice Cream Man, they released the Mortal Coil Shuffle, which was a issue yes. as a deck of cards, which results have varied in terms of how people like that or not. But I just think the audaciousness of yeah. doing that creatively is awesome. I love that swing. More of that, and I'm sure they will deliver more of that.
They're pushing the form in a way that it's really nice to get Kryptonite Spectrum from the same team that is like doing the form, and then pushing the form with Ice Cream Man is really cool. Lazarus Fallen, Greg Rucka's great book, back on the stands yeah. after many years. I love Lazarus. This continues to be one of the most prescient dystopian future books, while also having a lot of badass fighting. Got to shout out Redcoat, a comic book that I just keep coming back to as definitely the one from Geoff Johns' imprint that I just love this character. And I love the way that, you know, he's not someone we can really trust all the time. But the story, it feels like Geoff Johns has just a punch list of great stories he's wanted to tell for years. And it feels like Redcoat is giving him that vehicle to do that. The Ultimate Universe, weirdly, Absolute Universe, number one on the list, Ultimate Universe from Marvel, didn't make it. But I wanted to say Dennis Camp's Ultimates has been excellent. Ultimate Spider-Man has been so much story.
Yeah.
And maybe too much, you might say, but I have it. Just the way the characters are being laid out there is excellent. Promising starts for
wait,
this
before
year.
You get over there, our heads are covering all new Venom.
Oh, great. All new Venom. Great. The reveal, and I will say I did call the reveal. Maybe that's why I love this so much of who Venom is. But I think this book is being – it's very hard to tell a great story and have it be emotional and also be very funny. And this book is doing that in such a great way with who our Venom is. Shout out to Paul and his man bun. This is really the home of man bun in the Marvel Universe.
2026 is going to be the year of Paul. I'm calling it now.
No. Nope.
Definitely. That will end Pete LePage.
Yeah.
Skipping graphic novels for a second, talking about Promising Starts from this year. They just released a couple issues going into next year. Author Immortal, a book we talked about
yes.
a lot. We talked to
so
Frank
good.
Barbieri on the podcast and how great that has been, sort of a magical world that this father and child are exploring together in a terrifying way is great. And then Pete shouted out Planet She-Hulk. I think these first two issues this year have been so good. I'm so yep. excited. It's such a fresh way in on the Planet Hulk world. And Infernal Hulk as well.
Yes,
Maybe 26 is the
Hulk.
Year of the Hulk. Infernal Hulk, Philip Kennedy Johnson bringing
yes,
just
dude.
A sort of, it feels like the tip of the spear, the culmination of his horror
culmination.
Book at Hulk. And then graphic novels. I just wanted to bang these down. We don't cover graphic novels as much as we should on this podcast, but some of my favorites, and please chip in as well, lads. Drome, we
yeah,
did this as
Drome.
Our, by Jesse Lonergan, as our first comic book club book club book that's fucked up way to call it
yeah
and it was great to sit down and chat with people who on our Patreon Discord who are fans of this. Everyone, we got to see each other, talk to each other, and really have a in-depth conversation about this book, and it's excellent. Ginseng Roots, which yeah. is Craig Thompson's new release this year, is great. It's about his time as a kid living in Wisconsin, where it turns out American ginseng is grown. I knew nothing about this. And it's a great exploration of that industry, something I never knew about. And then talking about Craig Thompson's struggles with some physical ailments he had, and then dealing with the fallout from just his career and different things that he's done. Great book. If you like blankets, you know, it's definitely mm-hmm. in that lineage. Worth mm-hmm. checking out. Fish Flies, Jeff Lemire's yeah. book that we covered the single issues of. It's a great small town story with a supernatural bend. Spectators, a book that we talked about a little bit. And let me ask, Alex, has this been released for free online? I read something about this.
No, so I was wrong about that. It was initially free online on Brian K. Vaughan's Substack. Since they've now released it as a paperback through Image Comics, it is no longer free.
I see. Well, anyway, this is just a great sort of look at what a haunting sort of ghost idea. That's what The Spectators is. But a look at the sex and violence that define America in a really comic book way. I will say, as we talk about in the show, not for reading on the subway, unless you are on the kill train, because there's a lot of like active sex and very disturbing violence. You can, I don't know which one would be a more offensive, but they are both sort of, there's a lot. The Knives, a book we talked about. We interviewed the guys behind it. This is, of course, in the lineage of the Criminal characters, continuing the story for some of them. If you like, I mean, everyone knows about Criminal, but this is excellent if you happen to miss it this year. Talking to My Father's Ghost, we had the writer of this on the show, I want to say like a month and a half, 2 months back, about a really emotional story with a lot of humor about, you know, sort of what happens after a father passes. Struck a chord with me. My father died many years ago now, but this book really made me think about that. And then Zatanna, Bring Down the House. I'll pass it over to Pete on that one. You're actually
come on, dude. Yeah, that's just artistically so impressive. Such a great use of Zatanna and dealing with her powers. But, man, the art on that is just unbelievable. Such a juggernaut.
And Alex, can we go to my second slide? I just have like 10 or 12 more to get to.
No, next up, I wanted to talk about, since you did a really good job of covering a bunch of ongoing series.
Yeah, great job, Justin.
I felt like it's tough to choose one shots, I think,
yes,
and put them in the list. Like, it's already tough to think about books like you have The Promising Starts there, which I think is great, to add to our top 15 that have one or two issues. Hold on, Pete. What are two issues?
I'm looking
that have
at
come,
your list, fucker.
You're about
Jesus.
To say things. You're about to say things out loud.
Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it for our listeners. But the thing about the one-shots is thinking about them, even though they're excellent, putting them in place of a series that had 12 issues over the course of the year is tough. So I wanted to give a couple of shout-outs of ones that I particularly dug this year. First up, Batman Deadpool,
dude, come on.
That's the DC version, not the Marvel
careful.
Version.
Yeah. Be careful.
Just
on that.
To be clear, the DC Batman Deadpool I thought was fantastic front to back.
Yes.
Grant Morrison's lead story was exactly what I wanted out of it. Absolutely wild. All the backups were awesome. The first one that comes to mind is Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo, Nightwing and Laura Kitty Wolverine, which was absolutely lovely. But everything in that book was great, and that's what you wanted out of the crossover. It's a bummer it came out second, so less people bought it and were interested in it. But I am hoping next year we're going to get Superman Spider-Man, which looks equally great from DC Comics, so very excited about that as well. Also, shout out to Thanksgiving from Ahoy Comics.
Yeah, shout out to Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Great Pennywise,
great
lovely
fun.
To see you. Unk, call me anytime. No, this is a book by Mark Russell, and it is about a family that is exploring a dark secret in their past. That's the simplest way to put it.
Ooh.
But it's absolutely the sort of satirical about the world outside thing that Mark Russell plays so well. It's darker than a lot of his stuff, but it's still darkly comic and funny. Beautifully drawn. Definitely check that out. Didn't talk about this with the Absolute Universe, but Absolute Evil, the one shot that brought together the villains, was insane. We talked to Al Ewing about this at New York Comic Con and just constructing that issue, but so many jaw droppers happened to this issue. While, again, and I know I'm beating the same drum, but like, it really talks about how our society interacts with billionaires and how billionaires think about our society.
Yes.
So very timely of the moment as well. From Odie Press, Adventure Time, the Bubline College Special. This is by Carolyn Cash. Wrote and drew an AU about what if Princess Bubblegum and Marceline went to college together and fell in love. Absolutely adorable. Great art,
really
great writing. Just really charming, everything you want out there. Dread the Hall H from Syzygy, which came out through Image Comics. They put out an annual anthology called Dread the Halls, which is a Christmas anthology. That was really good this year as well. But this one came out around San Diego Comic-Con time and had a bunch of horror stories about Comic-Cons. And it was so funny and so smart. There's a runner there about a guy asking a question that was more of a comment that goes throughout the entire book. That just keeps going and going and going and going and coming back until you could probably figure out the punchline. But just... absolutely great package. I love that it existed. DC Pride 2025. Yeah, this is a no-brainer, but like every year, this collection is absolutely a standout. Amazing.
This was excellent.
Yeah, this one, they tried a light bit of continuity around a LGBTQ plus friendly bar that's closing down that has a bunch of the characters have written their name on the wall, but just really beautiful stories throughout. Great art. This is a must pick up every year. The Goddamn Tragedy by Chris Condon. This is a great one shot that I should have written this down, but I think it came out through Oni as well. And it's just exactly what it does best. Like if you like That Texas Blood and other things, it's a true life story about a bunch of people that may or may not have eaten each other when they got lost in crossing the mountain path from east to west. And it's dark, it's disturbing, really well drawn, really well done.
I wanted this to be an ongoing so bad.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was when I picked it up.
Me too.
Like, oh, man.
But, it was Oni, yes.
Yes, he has a lot of stuff going on. Free for All from Patrick Horvath. This is actually a reprint of one of his pre-Beneath the Trees comics, but very much a theme. It is about billionaires who are forced to fight for their fortunes in the future, which kind of makes it like a utopian vision, I guess, in a certain way.
Wow.
But it's dark and it's disturbing, but very funny and very satirical. A great pickup. L.A. Strong.
So many of our billionaires just stopped listening, Alex. You're really crushing our billionaire fan base.
Yes. Mark Cuban, please support our podcast like you do currently.
Join the Patreon. What are you doing
with
your money?
It's only $2, Mark Cuban. L.A. Strong. This was a great anthology from Mad Cave that was to support victims of the L.A. fires. Mm-hmm. There were so many superstars who contributed to this. Beautifully drawn, great writing, huge, huge package, and for a really good cause. And I'm just really glad it happened. But as it did happen, it was also an awesome read at the same time.
Just as important as what you just said.
Just as important as what I just said. I actually kind of think it is, and I'm going to go to bat for this. Harley Quinn Fartacular, Silent But Deadly, the scratch and sniff comic from DC Comics. This took so much heat online. People being like, DC is cooked, DC is over, how dare they release it? Let me just say, get a life, okay? Because this book and the swing of being like, we're going to release a book with the absolutely insane name, Harley Quinn Fartacular, Silent But Deadly. Not only that, we're going to make it scratch and sniff so it smells like butt farts. And then release it on stands is like audacious and ridiculous and the sort of thing you absolutely can only do in comics. But the craziest part about it, I believe this was written by Joanne Starrer, it's also a great comic. Like, it's a really good,
genuinely great,
really funny comic that plays with the idea that Harley Quinn can't stop farting, if I remember correctly, and it is so
could you forget? I think that's it.
Makes it like romantic at the same time with her and Ivy. Like the balance to release a book that's clearly like, we absolutely should not release a book like this, so how do we make it work? And then it absolutely works. This is why I love comics.
Oh, no, nice sentiment.
I just love someone who's testing it's going like, well, it smells like farts, but not butt farts. Let's keep going.
We're not there yet.
Not there yet.
Stop scratching the comics. Buy it first, man.
Back to the lab, DC Comics smell team. You haven't cracked the formula yet.
Well, and what a great note to end this on, our best of the year. Obviously, this year are our picks. We threw out lots of different selections there, but we'd love to hear from you in the comments on our Patreon Slack. Otherwise, I'm sure there's so many things that we missed elsewhere, or maybe things that you want to go to bat for, or tell us we're horribly wrong. Either way, comics are great. We love them. Pete, yes?
I just wanted to say, before you roast us in the comics, just know this was hard. We had we have a lot of passion for a lot of great comics, and trying to cover the list was tough. So now you can roast us.
Yeah, so Pete, come on. This is honestly, I think, one of the toughest jobs in America right now is coming up with best of.
Oh, stop.
Stop.
We did a good job. Let's not
get it. We're getting the old Factory.
To the crematorium with us. We can't top this.
Oh, boy.
And if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to YouTube. Come hang out. We'd love to chat with you about comic books. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
We'll see you at the Morning Godzilla Beer Center, where we're all spending our time.
See you next year.
I forgot about the second one. There's another one.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's important.
It's two.
Holidays are here, and Kirkland's Home has everything you need to make this season shine. From beautiful tree decor and ornaments to cozy throws, candles, and festive accents, you'll find inspiring ways to deck every hall. Explore thoughtful holiday gifts for everyone on your list at prices that make celebrating even brighter. Come visit Kirkland's Home and discover great deals across the store as you decorate, gift, and gather. Kirkland's Home, your destination for a beautifully decorated holiday season. Come see us today.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.